Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two begins right now. Donald Trump speaking in Washington at the Ellipse, honoring first 9/11 first responders. So that's underway right now. And believe it or not, it's the focus on all the news channels, believe it or not. Let's see here. Coming up on the program, Dale Jackson in about 30 minutes. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Will Hampson with P2 Public Affairs. Let's see. Let's get through some of these texts that are kind of been here waiting for a little while. Leo writes, if hormones can be used as a defense for murder, testosterone can be used as a defense for rape. Don't think that's the way that works. Let's keep going here. Squirrelverine. Former Mobile councilman Scott Jones used to criticize the smell of marijuana everywhere, and obviously he was nudged out by the gang. Heck, remember when he invited the medical professional Christine Carr to talk to the council about the hazards of funky garbage, and C.J. Small and William Keller walked out on her. The sheriff talks about it all the time, and I heard Devin Walsh remark about how annoyed by it everywhere. But I mean, you're right. There's a obvious marijuana problem in Mobile. What can he do about it? That I don't know. That's the deal here. If you start locking people up for marijuana possession, what happens? How do you enforce the law that no one takes seriously? People just don't take the law serious. And that includes law enforcement. And why don't they? And, you know, further analysis, well, it's sort of out of control. It's an out of control problem. And it's legal in a lot of other places. So, I don't know. It seems like we're just head trending in this direction where it's just going to be legalized. We're going to have to live with it. All I can say is maybe they'll make these advances in gummies where the smell is not... Like, that's the old way of doing it. But there's a public safety element here. It's this, and I'm like, this ties into, like, the whole Lindsey Clancy thing. The late Charles Krauthammer, when he was asked about marijuana legalization as a recreational drug, and just the number of intoxicants in society right now, or the number of pharmaceuticals. So we start out with the universally accepted intoxicant was alcohol. That's what we were founded on. And that's what we continue to be the primary intoxicant, liquor. And then you throw in all these, all of this medicine and these psychoactive drugs meant to, you know, even if they're manufactured with good intentions. Then you start throwing in some of these street drugs into the mix. And we talk about mental health. This is like a big legislature thing. Well, we got a mental health crisis now, man. We need more funding for it. But this was like the problem with the legalizing marijuana was, okay, you're introducing another chemical into society here. Another intoxicant. What does this do to the human brain? Like, we don't really fully comprehend what the human brain, how it reacts and what it does. And you can't help but wonder, like, you know, I think there's two things going on here. I think there is obviously an uptick in these sort of mental health incidents in society. But we're also in a place where, like, the media cover these things because it's like the scene of a car accident, but it's also just people are interested. They pose interesting legal questions. How do we grapple with this? How do we put in place measures to make sure this never happens again? Those types of things. But it's amplified, and this is why we're talking about it on this program. Let's keep rolling here. A named texter, poor Jeff sure takes the governor's race for granted. Let's make a wager on it here, unnamed texter. You want to put it on Doug Jones? This isn't going to be 2017. I made the same mistake in 17, thinking Roy Moore was probably going to be a U.S. senator. But the difference here is, you just have too much on the ballot, up and down the ballot. It's not just one race. It's not just Roy Moore or nothing. So you got governor, you got senator, you got AG, you got secretary of state, you got lieutenant governor, you got auditor, you got all of the legislative seats, you got Congress. And the historic precedent, with one exception in the last 20 years, has been for Republicans. So if I take it for granted, you'll have to excuse me for not being a moron, okay? Old guy. Hell, Jeff, let's just cob an extra 8 to 12 feet on the bayway for a billion or two. Could you do that? Could you cantilever on the existing bayway another shoulder there, make it wider? At least temporarily. Could you do something like that? As Congressman Carl was saying, though, that bayway is going to have to be redone at some point. It is. It's just there's no other way around it. It's getting old and the concrete's deteriorating. Paul, I'd love to hear his talk about the time coming soon when the bond market forces the feds to address the budget. I mean, we've been hearing that all our lives, Paul. That's the problem, you guys. And then I'm not a, you know, let's just spend and become Zimbabwe or whatever. But there's a psychological element here. When, you know, every decade you had the doom and gloomers, you do the Reagan and, you know, the think tank crowd. Oh, we got to deal with our national debt. And then nothing dramatic happens right away. Maybe it's incrementalism and it's like the frog in the boiling pot and we're just kind of adapting to it. Inflation's a tax on the middle class. You can't raise taxes on the wealthy because they have all the influence. You can't really raise taxes on the lower class because they don't have anything to pay. So the government borrows money, devalues their dollar, and then you just wind up paying more ultimately at the store because your wage does not complement that, you know, devaluation of the dollar. And it's not all at once, although we do have times of hyperinflation. We just kind of, it's like we dealt with this last bout of inflation. We just kind of just roll with it. Gripe. Maybe there's a presidential election or two that goes another way. Because of it, but that seems to be the mindset. B for Spanish Fort, why is the bridge not being presented to DOT as a national security issue? The bridge goes down, we are in trouble as a nation. Well, the interstate highway system, I mean, it is a national security phenomenon coming out of World War II and trying to kind of mimic what the Germans did with the Autobahn system. But I, you know, what is the, if you were to make that case, how would you do so? We don't get that Mobile Bridge built. The Chinese are coming. I mean, is that the national, what is the national security argument specifically, other than kind of in theory? Pat, there's a speed limit sign posted on the tunnel in the middle of both lanes that says 35 miles per hour. Jerry needs to get that sign removed. Oh, yeah, we know what it is. Coming out of the tunnel, the traffic slows down and at that incline coming up. That's what it's always been. You seem to be cruising, and then all of a sudden you hit the brakes there as you're going down into the tunnel because the traffic coming out of the tunnel slows down because of the hill. Ben, they should have put a center turn lane in between the tunnel and the Cochrane Bridge 10 years ago. Skid Row. It looks like they're restriping the Cochrane Bridge to six lanes, although I haven't heard they are. I have not seen that. Is that feasible? Maybe it is. I don't know. Skid Row. John. Bill, let's see. There's a couple of things here. Most of the cities and minor league teams have tried and failed before fielding their current team. The Montgomery Biscuits is by no means Montgomery's first attempt at minor league baseball. For all we know, a Southerly team could be sold now or 20 years from now. Many cities go through a period of having minor league baseball. Mobile's period is up after 25 years. It's possible Biloxi and Pensacola will see an end to their period after many years. You may be right that people stop going, but it looks like these teams have decent attendance. I think like these minor league games are like the best bargain in professional sports. I mean, I've come to prefer Biloxi because the Brewers farm system is just much better than the Marlins right now. The Marlins are an affiliate. I mean, the Blue Wildcats are affiliate of the Marlins, and the Brewers are an affiliate, or the Shuckers are affiliate of the Brewers, and they just have right now just bona fide potential major league talent playing on those rosters. Also writes, build the bridge and veer one lane of the bridge over to the causeway until a bayway can be built. How would you addressing traffic flow and people just kind of looking at it and I don't want to get off the interstate and we're cruising along good here. Captain Doug, Jerry Carl is correct about air taxis. Take a quick look at a company called Joby Aerospace here, currently in the final phases of flight testing prior to the very service. Mostly aimed at larger cities around the world, but the tech exists and will be a reality in the near future. They are currently the world leader providing the service and should clear the FAA requirements soon. But how do you get to where the air taxi picks up? Is it going to come to your house and take you to your job? Well, you just build a train across the bay or something and ferry people back and forth. So we lack the infrastructure for something like that to be successful, I think. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Want to be in touch with the show? Hit us up on that text line. Also, Captain Doug, Jerry Carl Wright is right. To fix this bayway is going to be a disaster. It's going to happen. There's no way that restriping four lanes to six lanes And the bottleneck at the Daphne X is nothing but piss poor design and teacher planning. Well, they could make the exit off of at the Eastern Shore, an exit only lane. I mean, there's things they can do. That bottleneck's going to happen somewhere. Ideally, it would happen past the Malbus exit. But certainly, you want to go all the way to the Beach Express at Bucky's there, where it's six lanes, or not all the way to the Florida state line. And then it would connect there to the existing six lanes once you hit the state line in Florida. Jason and Jeff, will it now be called a three-way instead of the Bayway? And can we request a NASCAR safer barrier salt walls be installed? Not necessarily a bad idea. A name texter, why is Will Nainsworth reviving his gubernatorial platform after dropping out of the GOP primary? Because he drove from Orange Beach to Gunnersville and got stuck in the traffic coming. You know, we have a I-65 that is, the traffic flows in Chilton County are contingent on the checkout time in Orange Beach. There's really no excuse for that, and our transportation officials have not done a good job. Alabama should not be a state where you have this happen. ALDOT is bad at its job, okay? I think Governor Ainsworth was just kind of frustrated with the 9-hour trip that should have taken like 6 or 5. Say it's faster to go from Gunnersville to Chicago than it is from Gunnersville to Orange Beach. That's a problem. And it's years of neglect and years of like just dumb ideas, bad planning from our policymakers. Really, what needs to happen in Alabama? You got to take the power away from the executive on these. Having the sole discretion here. The process has got to be democratized somehow. But the lawmakers are hesitant to do that. Well, we can't politicize roads and bridges, Jeff. Yes, you can. That's how our whole system operates on politics. Typically, where there are more votes, there's going to be more traffic. And if there's more traffic, that needs to get done. Or how about this? More of your votes driving on these dangerous roads and these high traffic situations. But one preface here that I guess they look at as I-10 is not an avenue of political importance. No, you know what it is? It's taking money out of your gas taxes to expand the Port of Mobile. Who is that for? Well, it's going to help everybody around the state, Jeff, because we're going to build things, and they're going to float down a barge on down the Tom Bigby Waterway, and it's going to go to Port of Mobile. We're going to get rich. If you polled people in this first congressional district, what would you say is a bigger transportation priority? I-10 or deepening the port? I mean, like, who are we serving here? But our ALDOT masters and our state policymakers, especially Governor Ivey, she'll take a plane from the Montgomery Regional Airport to Birmingham, and that air transit takes longer to get to and from the airport to her destination before she will get in her motorcade and just go up I-65. They don't need to use the roads a lot of this. Well, her, I don't know about the rest of them. They just don't travel the state. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Now we're the wild things on. to the Jeff Poore Show at FN Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. If you want to be in touch with the program, you know what to do. Since we were unable to have him on yesterday, he has graciously agreed to come on a day later. But Dale Jackson from WVNN, Yellowhammer News, joins us on the line. Dale, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I give and I give and I give and I just, you know, I'm here for you, buddy.
Yeah, well, you give where maybe sometimes you shouldn't be giving.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure you're going to make me pay for it. So go ahead. Let's hear it.
Well, I was going to say you gave me a radio show once.
there it is.
But you paid for it in your own way. Hey, I didn't know you and Paul Feinbaum were bros.
I apparently we are. We're best friends. I mean, the one thing I was telling my wife about this after some people had contacted her and told her they heard that he had mentioned me. And it was just kind of a passing glance. But he said we were friends, which is true. If you ever go back and look at his reasoning for not running for United States Senate.
It was right out of your playbook, right?
It was right out of my mouth. And I talked to him and told him, I said, if you run, the only way you can win is to go to absolute war with ESPN and ABC and talk about how woke they were and how you didn't like it. That's it. When he announced that he wasn't running, he basically said, I was told I would need to attack my employer and I just couldn't do it, which is, I mean, that's fine. That's understandable, I guess. But that's what he said. I was like, damn, okay.
Well, then he is now, I guess, reading you on a regular basis, yeah, which is even more troubling.
Do you understand? Do you agree with that analysis that I gave?
That Nick Saban's horrible at this? But he's good at everything else.
My whole point was, like, he's the wrong guy. That's sort of been my point. He's not the guy that should be talking about this.
Well,
like, get the money out of college sports. Like, dude, come on, man. We've seen your leg house. All right, chill out. That was what I actually meant. But I was referring more about Feinbaum's Senate analysis.
Oh, well, him having to go hard against Disney.
Disney and ABC, yeah.
I always disagreed with that.
Well, I mean, here's what was going to happen. He was going to run, and people were going to be like, oh, yeah, well, what about this that happened when you were at ABC? And what about this? And you know, maybe he couldn't have escaped it because, you know, he's Paul Feinbaum, and it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But I just thought that maybe he'd have to answer for some of the stuff he had said.
Yeah, maybe because he, you know, he got a little off the rails.
Everyone got nuts during COVID. I mean, let's just be real about it.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of, he bought into the company line though. And I don't know, like if you look at his total package, like over the years, he never was that. And he kind of leaned into it a little bit when he got to
it was clear he was playing ball, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, he didn't really, I mean, it's a different world, right? With us, let's just be real about it. You know, I worked for Cumulus at the time. And like, you got to get the shot and stuff. I told my audience I was getting the shot. I opposed the mandates, including the mandates that Cumulus was requiring. If you may remember, I got into it with my other best friend, Dan Bongino, very publicly over that. That almost got me fired. So, I mean, but I didn't have to take the company line, but they did mandate, you know, the shot and stuff. So I had to get that. Not that I was against it myself. I bought in a little bit more than I should have, but a lot of people went a little nuts there.
Well, back to what he was citing you for about Nick Saban. And I was thinking about that too, a little bit. If not Saban, then who?
It should be maybe Tuberville. But Tuberville doesn't agree with that
too,
bill.
He's too, because of his time in the Senate, he's too polarizing.
Well, plus he disagrees with the bill.
It needs to be somebody in the college football world. It doesn't need to be politician.
But Jeff, how do you do that though? I mean, this is the problem that you have, because everyone that's going to do it is a quadrillionaire, you know, and it's hard. And Tuberville's position is basically, I don't care about the money. They're going to make the money. Who cares? Right? Like, that's his position. I don't care about the money. They're going to make it. Who cares? The transfers are stupid. We can't be having the kids play until they're 35 years old. You know, that kind of, that's his position. I tend to agree with Tuberville's position. But anytime you run a multimillionaire out, and you have them talk about how there's too much money involved and it's too freewheeling and stuff like that, it's just, it's not a good look. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, I don't think it can, because Tuberville is a multimillionaire too.
Right. He doesn't care about the money.
I think you've got to look at, I just brainstorm here and think about, you think about big names in college football right now, you know, what if it were like a Herb Street or somebody like that even?
Yeah, it could be a Herb Street, someone who probably should have made money while he was playing and didn't. That would probably be someone who might be a good one out there. But you'd have to get him out to want to weigh in the middle of some political stuff. And he's probably not going to want to do
that. Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, sitting up there at that college game day table right there next up, you know, next there, Nick Saban is Herb Street or, you know, anybody else up there.
Yeah. But they, you know, just like McAfee's the only one who was like, well, they won the only one, excuse me, but you know, he's a clown, sort of a circus clown sort of guy.
You like him, don't you?
I do. I mean, I like his WWE stuff. I like him as an outspoken personality. I like the theatrics. Surprise, Jeff. I like the theatrics.
I know. He's a gimmick. Like, his show's just, it's gimmick.
Yeah. So he kind of like, oh, this, you know, it's chaos and stuff like that. And, you know, he's kind of laying out what the issues are and where he has some problems with it. It's just, those guys aren't the right guys. And honestly, the fans don't care. They want to watch college football. I'm rooting for the Gator helmet. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. So it's going to be hard to get. And plus, Jeff, do we really want them all involved in this? Do we really want them getting? I mean, that's another one.
Well, they're the only ones. They're the only ones who could be involved at this point.
No, I agree with that. I agree.
No one's going. No one else is going to. No one else is going to. I don't know. I just.
They're not going to fix themselves, Jeff.
No one has the power to do it, yeah. Right? Because the NCAA, in theory, should be the ones to do it, but they are looking at Congress, SEC, the Big Ten. Those are none of the other two that matter. They want a law in place to fall back on.
They want someone to do it for them.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that they're tired of the litigation. It's very expensive, and they're getting their butts kicked in court.
And the Lane Kiffin stuff is making it worse because it's highlighting it further, right? It's showing the problem even more. It becomes more glaring, and it's just not something that people really want to deal with. And you know, you've got Lane Kiffin out here. They just want that resolved too, and they would love for someone to come in and handle it for them. And that's the last thing that they want to be doing is handling anything.
While we're on Laurel Sports Ball, what is your take on Coach Kiffin?
I think that what he did was not great. I think leaving at the end of the season, he shouldn't have been allowed to do that. I'm not a big fan of that. I think it's understandable that Ole Miss didn't want him there after all of that, obviously. And LSU did want him where he was. He's got character flaws, but would I have been happy to see him roll into Gainesville? Yeah. And I think you may have been adequately okay with him showing up in Auburn.
Yeah, but I mean, and my take on him is you look at him as just the LSU coach and what he's doing. And you know, as a person, yeah, we can make character assessments. But do we feel like what he is really deep down trying to do is trying to win football games or better his football program?
That's all he cares about.
And I would say, yeah, I would say that this is his, you know, that's his motive here.
If not, what else does he care about?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems that's the only thing he cares about, and banging sorority girls. I mean, that's about it.
Well, I don't know how it ends at LSU, but it's off to a pretty good start. But
can I give you a conspiracy theory?
What's that?
A conspiracy theory? He knew that book was coming out, so he just created as much chaos as he could around it.
I don't think the book matters. I'm not a fan of that guy who wrote it.
Sure, but it's not good stuff. He's involved in tampering, which, again, you're going to tell me, well, who's paying attention to that? And the answer is no one. I agree with that. But the sorority girl thing that had some attention,
but that was what, 10 years ago.
Sure.
But we knew this. I mean, surprise.
There's usually us knowing it's happening and it being shoved in our face. There's a huge difference.
Well, I mean, you know, but I think the people who care, who this is an audience for, are well aware of the antics when he was in Tuscaloosa.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
Because he kind of hit rock bottom there and you know, like, just kind of get chased out of everywhere. And that's sort of the situation he was in, a guy without a home. And that to me, like, yeah, well, and he lived the lifestyle of someone who hit rock bottom.
Right.
But I can't fault him for what he's trying to do. And I don't know how that team's going to play. Clemson's a kind of a mediocre team. But if you're LSU today, I mean, you still feel good about the Lane Kiffin hire.
Yeah, Auburn would have been happy to have him. Florida would have been happy to have him. All those schools would have been completely content to have him causing problems on their sidelines.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he's a distraction, but he's our distraction.
Yep, yep. I mean, I'll go back to the same thing. I don't care about any of this except for the football.
It's important. I mean, you can't have... It's not like it was when Nebraska or you know, Oklahoma back in the 80s. And you know, that it's... You want to build a program, and this is coming from an Auburn guy. Well, Florida, you know about this. You can have short-term gain and then, like, long-term consequences for the program, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see, go back and look at Florida's recent history. You have coaches come in, have a rough first year. Second year, they make it to, like, some bowl game they shouldn't have made it to, maybe a playoff or something. I don't know if they made any of the playoff games, but they made it to some New Year's bowls. And then, like, a 3-8 season the third year, they flame out. And, you know, so you got to get too much turnover.
Joined by Adele Jackson here on the program. There is some mildly interesting politics, not so much consequential in any sort of way, but the Carolee caretaker senator, yada, 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 your buddy Doug Jones, trying to make a race out of it. And only thing I'd say, you seem to be one of the few people kind of taking the bait here, Dale.
What do you mean taking the bait?
Like, you're talking about, like, you spend a lot more time talking about some of his stuff than I think.
I think his stuff's funny. I mean, it's so bad.
Yeah,
it's disingenuous. It's just fake.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a phony through and through. I mean, that's been my take. I mean, I'm amazed. You know, I put up a photo. Because, like, for Yellowhammer, I made a video about disingenuous Doug Jones. And I laid out some of the stuff. And in the thumbnail they created, it was like a Photoshop of, like, Hassan Piker and Abdul Al-Sayed and, like, Tim Walls and all these other people, which is exactly what I asked for. Don't get me wrong. But I saw it getting shared around, and I went on social media, and I was like, hey, just full disclosure, this is obviously a Photoshop with him with Hassan Piker. But this one with Tim also, yeah, it's completely real. It's the same photo, right? It's the exact same photo. And, like, all of his people, he's just showing he talks to other people. And I'm like, no, the photo's fake, idiots. I mean, like, this is not a real thing. And they'll just defend anything he does. And it's just like, okay, cool, man. And they don't believe anything they say either.
No, the campaign is this. There's someone on the ballot who Democrats could vote for, and maybe it helps Maryland Lands or whoever.
Yeah.
And then everything else is just kind of grasping at straws, you know, responding to Tommy Tuberville. There's nothing.
He likes data centers. Therefore, I hate data centers. That's basically.
Yeah. There's no compelling message there, at least not yet. And what we're 2 months away, or 3 months away, or yeah, 2 months away. It's just not, I don't know. Like, you know, at least like a Philip Insler or these other guys kind of down about Ron Sparks. Talk a little bit about what's going on. Doug Jones has been very uninspiring.
Well, I mean, like, the thing with, like, Doug Jones is, like, he's grasping at all the big flashy things. He's in Florida, like, or whatever. Or he has stocks in data centers, and it's just like,
guys. The other one is just the hallmark of a losing campaign. He won't debate. You know, when you start talking about a debate, It's just, okay, you're going to lose.
Yep. Yep. There's no reason for him to do that. There's no reason for Tommy Tuberville to stand on a stage with him and give him a platform to throw some crazy accusation out.
And no, and my list is just like, oh, we should make all these candidates debate. No, because no one, you can't, you just don't vote for them if you don't like it that they won't debate.
Yep.
But Doug Jones has to earn the privilege of that debate. It's not something you have to do.
Correct.
People may think that, well, you got to do it because it's the right thing to do. Well, not necessarily, you know, because sometimes these candidates, it's just vanity campaigns or there's some kind of ulterior motive there or something going on. And it's, you don't get on the stage with that candidate who's not a serious candidate to give them credibility.
Right. And this is like, and I kind of like what Tuberville says. Like, look, we know who Doug Jones is. We know who I am. What are we doing?
Well, it's just like, and you know, neither one of us are big Kay Ivey fans, but I don't think she should have had to have debated any of those candidates.
No, I would have loved to see her debate Tommy Battle and anyone really, because you put her up there in a non-protected environment, you would have seen a very different Kay Ivey than is predicted,
right,
or that is protected. We all know that, and we said that, and that's the information you need. We knew exactly what was going on. We knew exactly what the story was, and we told people, and that's the end of it. The people get to decide, and guess what? The people didn't care.
People didn't care, and like I said, you want to force a debate, do better in the polls, run a better campaign. I mean, it's that.
Right. And don't come out and start throwing out crazy accusations and stuff. Why would he work with you? Why would he do anything with you if it's obvious you're going to be on the attack all the time? Like, yeah. What's the purpose?
Yeah, because you just want to get up there and say, hey, what about you, Florida man? Or what? I mean, okay. I mean, we know the shtick, right?
Yeah. There's nothing there that would entice me to stand on the stage with Doug Jones unless I was losing to him.
Unless you're losing, or you thought that you could lose. Let's say it's 52-48, but it's not. It's not even close to that.
Well, they're telling you that the polls are just terrible for Tommy Tuberville.
Well, I mean, I don't think that they're great, as good as they could be, but they're not in any situation where Tommy Tuberville is in threat of losing. He may not win by 40 points, but he's not going to lose either.
Yeah. I mean, if you go look at like in Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, for similar situation, that she's in, she's a senator running and she's up 21 points.
Yeah.
So Tuberville is trailing. I mean, there's no question about that, but I mean, there has just been a nonstop negative drumbeat for years against Tommy Tuberville in the mainstream press.
Yeah, and then we're going to find out election day, it will roll around, and he'll win by 15, 17 points. He'll be like, oh, I guess we were wrong. Better luck next time. You know, that's what they always do. Hey, Dale, folks want to find you online. They want to check you out. How can they do so?
At the Dale Jackson on any social media, at yellowhammernews.com. You can find me there. As well. I'm everywhere.
He is everywhere, including the Paul Feinbaum show, ladies and gentlemen.
My best friend.
He is. They fish together. Dale Jackson, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Crushed up cans. No, I can't say my CBAs. I can sing every song that jukebox plays. And I know I this fall,
you got to know. Never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Hit us up on that text line if you want to interact with the program. Ultra Runner. Exceptions exist, but do they exist for a 7-mile long highway over such a fog-producing waterway? A required fog warning system should not skimp on safety standards for width. I would agree with that. As I said, I suspect that there's fog issues. When you cross the Mississippi River coming out of Memphis, going to West Memphis on Interstate 55, so there's two ways to cross the Mississippi from Memphis into Arkansas. It's Interstate 40, and that's the bridge that kind of comes out of downtown. and there's one to the south of it, Interstate 55. And then the two interstates run a concurrence through West Memphis, and then 55 heads north to St. Louis and 40 heads west to Little Rock. But right there, they at 55, they've done something kind of similar. The difference is, Ultra Runner, it's like a span of a mile and a half, 2 miles versus 7 miles. So maybe that's the preview of what's to come. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.